You know how we're always on the hunt for awesome furniture, decor, and supplies for our short-term rentals?
We're gonna let you in on our secret weapon, Manoan. They are a free platform for hosts that offer steep discounts on over 150 top brands. Think Wayfair, Article, Our House, Liza, Parachute, California Designed In, Public Goods, and Society 6. Plus, the ability to centralize all ordering and reordering needs to make tracking and bookkeeping a breeze.
I had my eye on gorgeous linens from Parachute, wanting to give our listing that wow factor with better quality that lasts. And my Manoan discount actually made it more cost-effective over the long run than the budget options requiring constant replacement. Seeing the savings, I naturally had to order more. All I had to do was head to their site, install their browser extension, which makes shopping so, so simple, and add items across partner brands to my cart with just a few clicks.
And when guests inevitably ask you about that awesome Lisa mattress that you purchased through Manoan, at a major discount, no less, you can point them to a custom digital storefront called Manoan Showroom. The best part? When guests shop their stay, you'll earn commission from hundreds of stores, including featured items you didn't purchase through Manoan.
So, head over to Manoan.com/TFV_podcast or simply click the link in our show notes to sign up. Let the savings and the earnings begin.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Hello, welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Parakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do every week, and that is featuring one of you, our incredible listeners, who's going over to strshare.com, entering in your information about your short-term rental so we can share you here on the podcast and on our Instagram account each and every Sunday. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at @goodspeed_getaways. Again, that's at @goodspeed_getaways. And a couple of things I want to specifically call out that I really enjoyed on their Instagram is, number one, they have their phone number. That, to me, in their bio, it just exudes a ton amount of trust with me out of the gate. Like, hey, their phone number's there. They're not holding anything back. I could call them right now if I had questions. So I'd say 90% of the people aren't going to call you, but it increases your trust immensely. The other thing I want everybody to check out that I think this host has crushed it on is the way that they have done their bunk beds. Now, this property sleeps up to 19, and they say specifically they are good for girls' trips, family reunions, and corporate retreats. And I want you to check out the design of their bunk beds. They are not traditional at all, and they have like queen beds on the bottom that aren't a bunk in any way, shape, or form, and then a bunk that goes over the queen. That's like a twin or a full. And the way that they've built in the stairs, I've seen built-in bunks before, but the way that they've done them, just really, again, those girls' trips, family reunions, it's much more inviting in that bottom bunk to have like a queen bed, and then just the one on top. So I encourage everyone, if you're thinking about doing some custom bunks, please check out their account and see the way that they have done those beds. I think it's next level.
Amazing.
Speaking of next level, tell us about our guest today, Sarah.
I'm excited to interview Taylor Yates, who is a hospitality entrepreneur and visionary behind multiple successful ventures, including two luxury property management companies. One of them focuses on short-term stays,
The other one focuses on long-term stays and executive stays. He's even started his own laundromat and housekeeping services. This man can't get enough of serving through hospitality. And that is really his guiding star, is serving through hospitality. And you know, Annette and I love a guy who can talk bed sheets to us, who can talk mattresses and caring about that overnight stay. And that is exactly who Taylor is. One of my favorite moments in today's conversation was when he talked about what it took to hire a really good cleaning partner, cleaning team. Because I think a lot of us struggle with that. And when he works with his cleaners, he really gets into their mind, really understands their day. So I think you're really going to enjoy that part of the conversation as well. Taylor, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you. How did you get into all this? Take us back to pre-hospitality, Taylor. What were you doing and what was the catalyst to get into hospitality?
Great question. Well, I did have a little bit of a hospitality background in my family, mainly in the steakhouse industry in Atlanta. We have a restaurant there. It's been there for like 47 years called Bone Steakhouse. And I kind of grew up mainly from my aunt and uncle, who always inspired me to like, hey, when you enter that door, you're there to serve other people. And it kind of always, it made me feel really good, you know, kind of seeing that ethos, but also actually putting it into ritual every day with a group of other people who are there just to like serve others and really make them happy, right? Like create core memories. And there's something about that that kind of just got me high, honestly. I was like, this is so cool. So from that, I wanted to actually be into music and events and kind of do it in that regard. So I went to college of Charleston, got a degree in arts management. And then during senior year of college, actually one of my neighbors, he was in the Air Force and, he was going on mission for 4 months at a time. And I was like, hey man, I found this website called Airbed and Breakfast. It's like Airbnb, and no one in Charleston even, that was, and probably most people didn't even country know what it was. And it was the first account. And I basically rented out individual bedrooms in his house and like Airbed in the living room. Between classes, I was cleaning them, taking them on a golf cart, cruising around Charleston, giving them tours, so my own little like local tour. And just really like, you know, I just loved it. It was great. It was just so cool to meet new people and like just see smiles on their faces and kind of just feel like every day I was doing something that mattered in small ways. So from there, started getting into property management and it grew. But my background kind of came, I think, wholeheartedly from just like really wanting to serve others. So, yeah.
And Bones Steakhouse, it's still open today?
It is.
Holy smokes. Well, and we need to come down for the 50th. It's close. We'll be for the 50th. What? I want to go back. It sounds like you were doing an Airbnb experience before Airbnb experiences. Let's dig in though. When you were, because essentially you were co-hosting, what was the most eye-opening about putting the property on Airbnb? Was there a like light bulb moment that you were like, wait, this could actually be the thing that I do instead of the arts management? Like, was there a distinct moment that you like that saw the aha or the light bulb?
Yeah. I first off, in like that 6-8 months, I made this guy more than he was making working in the military. So that
hold up. Just by the room.
Just by the rooms that he had in his house. He had 3 bedrooms. And we were bringing in about a little over 110, I think, a year. Just off kind of doing the individual rooms, 99% occupancy. And I think this was just at like month 8. And then from there, a buddy of mine's family had a bed and breakfast. First off, Charleston's a small town. So like if you do really good, you don't really need marketing. Like word of mouth is just amazing.
Okay.
Spreads like a wildfire. So I go with them. They're saying, hey, we got this little bed and breakfast, been operating it for like a long time. We'd love to see, what you could do with it. And got on there and doubled their revenue and then took on another bed and breakfast down the street. And so just like every, it kind of started. And then every year I was bringing on from there about, 50 to 80 properties really quickly. So it kind of like honestly started as like, this would be a cool side thing to do. And then I even started renting my own house out and then leaving on the weekends, like just to kind of like, you know, I think going to stay at a buddy's house and just to try to like, you know, get things going. But it really just started as more of like a, you know, I'm about to graduate college and I know, I think I can do this well. And then from there, it just turned into, whoa, the bar is so low in this industry that I think I have an opportunity here to like raise it. And that got me excited. So
what year was that approximately where you really were getting into leveraging Airbnb?
2012.
Yep. Well, that was the same year I did
and,
too.
And to be like, cool. Just to, for some transparency here, you know, you're like, hey, this bed and breakfast asked me to take them on. Not to like minimize what you were doing, but is the first thing you really did just put them on the Airbnb platform? Was that your like magic in the beginning of just introducing people that there was another way to list their property?
Yeah, definitely that and VRBO. But then also like, you know, proper photography. I always approach things with a little bit of an like interior design mentality, like, you know, symmetry and like make sure like, why do we have a full bed where you could fit a queen or a king, right? Like just right. Kind of really basic stuff. It's like, wow. And the conversions go up because you're just sort of like, what holistically do these people want? What would I want my family to experience, right? And I think that's actually a lot of what I've learned in this is like, everybody really quickly forgets to be on the other side as like a guest, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, they're constantly stuck on the host mode because there's so much going on. So when I started doing that, I started really opening up my eyes, I think more, you know, like the benefits I could have from that, if that makes sense.
Okay. So, you flippantly said 50 to 80 properties. Okay. Let's slow down. Like, how are you actually bringing on 50 to 80? It's not you. It's like, has to be a team. And that's a lot of people. Like, that's a lot of properties in a short amount of time. Like, how do you even know that you're giving the guest a good experience still and bringing that many, you know, units on? Are they all full homes?
Yeah. Some are apartments. Charleston is broken up where like single family homes are turned into duplexes for college rentals. And then there's a certain area in Charleston where short-term rentals became okay to do. And I was a part of that whole ordinance thing and helped, you know, really fight for that actually solo along with like Uber and Lyft while they were doing, quitting like drinking and driving. I was saying, well, we're better for local businesses and stuff like that. Anyways. I mean, growing, I had to manage homeowner onboarding, which we all know can be the most difficult part of getting anything started because every homeowner's expectations are different. You know, when you start off, you're kind of like just jack of all trades, like you are in any business. But yeah, I was doing inspections, cleaning, onboarding, guest experience, you know, late night calls, reservations, dynamic pricing, did all of that, brought on a business partner. And then slowly a couple months later, brought on a third business partner. And then we all started tackling different elements of it. But really the best, you know, I think business owners have empathy for every position, you know, in the business as a skill, right? So it's like in the beginning, we were hosts, but we're only good, you know, I would say like property, only a good property manager company because we understand what it's like to be an inspector. We've cleaned, we've done, you know, hospital, you know, folding for the beds. We understand like every single little detail that matters. What I found that was so crucial to me though, just to create an experience that have quality control is so our company is called Stay Duvet. And the reason why we called it duvet was when you go to a hotel, you don't know if the duvet is clean, right? You're like, is that clean? It's always like that funny thing. Right?
You just like tapped into the deepest depths of Sarah's soul that you had.
Yeah, idea. And I'm just like, I'm like, for me, I'm not even kidding y'all. Like, you know, hosting Airbnbs for so long, I was always like, I don't think this bed's clean. First off, because it's not white, I can't be properly cleaned if it isn't. So, like, I've always kind of was grossed out by it, right? So for me, I was like, if I can just create like 100% cotton, like 400 thread count, really awesome bedding experience, and have just like, you know, you can't clean a whole. One residential washer, it doesn't even fit. It's like compressed so intensely that the soaps and stuff can't really get around. So I got so into like, I can't overpromise these guests that I'm providing this luxury experience and having these owners invest in that with me if I can't deliver that, right? So that was like, I would say one of my biggest fears was people come in being like, oh, I'm staying at a motel. I want them to feel like they're staying like a Four Seasons, you know, like at a house, you know? So our whole thing with duvet was we have a clean duvet guarantee and, you know, we bring the hotel experience to the home. And I think a lot of people like that because as we know, during COVID, you know, a lot of the people were moving from hotels into homes and trying them out. And that was our golden opportunity, the industry, that if we did it right, we would take a lot of those hotel customers and make them home customers for life. And whether we did that right or not, but that was the moment, right? So we were prepared before COVID to have this. And we saw just a huge amount of feedback coming to us saying, man, like y'all, I'm sleeping in a bed that's almost more comfortable than my own bed. You know, what's this about? And for us, we knew that whatever happens every day, as long as someone gets a nice like rest or a good night's sleep, everything else can be a little bit more manageable, right? So that's kind of why we did that. And that was, I would say, my biggest core focus. And then I started kind of working backwards where I would go back through the onboarding checklist, work with owners on ways to maximize their property by focusing on the actual product they're giving their guests, right? Like talking about the beds and does this living room properly sit comfortably when it sleeps? Does it dine comfortably when it sleeps? Like, what are we really doing here, right? Are we just trying to throw people in and make money? And I think over time, I'm very blessed because our homeowners actually really followed that vision and really invested in it. And I know that can be really hard for people. But when you get a homeowner like that that cares, that's your key to success because obviously we don't own this product, right? So because of that being the hardest part, if you can own your product, like and a lot of people on the show, I think are more hosts, that's amazing because you can control what that is. You can get those tax write-offs from at the end of the year, right? So it's so important to like reinvest back into that product so you can continue to have a good experience. And I would say for property managers out there, we all know that is the hardest part of this industry in order to have that. So
what year did Stay Duvet start?
So Stay Duvet technically started in 2015.
2015.
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was a crawl. And then 2015, it just became that bonkers, like every year, bringing on almost too much.
Amazing. That's how most businesses get started, right? You're like crawling and then all of a sudden it's like chaos. Okay. At what point did you get obsessed with the bed and the bedding and the laundry process?
Oh man, day one. Yeah. It just for me, I'm that weird person who's like every house or hotel. I do the first thing I do is like pull back.
No, I love it. You don't even know.
Yeah.
Well, how do you? I'm gonna ask. This is a touchy subject. It's controversial. How do you feel about triple sheeting?
Ooh, triple sheeting. So we do the bed bug cover waterproof mattress pad with actual pillow top layer so that it feels cushy and not like that plasticky, like feels like you're sleeping on a water bottle. And then we do pillow protectors that also are a waterproof like sateen cotton mix formula. And then we actually do fitted and then we do a flat. So we actually have our own proprietary blend of linen that we created, like it's like branded, you know, Stay Duvet. And for me, like we color the threads. We know like green's queen, red's, you know, king and blue's twin, you know. Like, so we were able to kind of like do all that. But what really was a game changer for us is we created our own commercial laundry facility. So when we did that, it allowed us to make sure all of our linens go through a 5-step cleaning process. So like guaranteed perfectly clean sheets, like no matter what, every time. Like we haven't been called back for a sheet issue in 3 years.
Because a lot of our listeners are owner operators. Yep. Can you give them tips on laundering their beds?
Definitely.
Walk us through it. Like, so what, if they have only residential washer and dryers to use, is there a residential washer and dryer brand that you like? And if not, you can just skip that question. But what process could they go through that's kind of like the at-home version of the Stay Duvet bed?
Yeah. So it's really important that you clean, you know, everything, right? Let's really give this guest like a clean experience, just like you would want for you yourself. So always think about that, right? You know, I recommend definitely, you know, detergent, bleach, degreaser, all that stuff. In a residential washer, you're going to have to do, you can do a fitted, a flat, four pillowcases, and a duvet cover. That's it. You can't throw the towels in. It will not actually come out clean. You really do need to let some things soak. People obviously, cut their leg or get like a bug bite and they start like itching it. And then it goes in the bed and there's blood, right? And so it's just like, there are things that just, we're all people, right? So you have to kind of actually inspect those sheets. Now I would recommend as a host to actually find a local commercial laundry group. I would say $15 to $18 per bed is what you should see as sort of an industry norm to look for.
Okay.
But I know that can kind of add up if you have like a four bedroom, but just kind of know, like you have to ask yourself, do I want those late night calls? Do I want more reviews? And overall, like if you talk to your housekeeper, I asked all of our housekeeping teams, we used to work with eight and now we, brought everything in house, right? Work with one, but, it's crazy. They all told me they would take 30-40% less pay if they didn't have good linens. And I was interesting. Cause when you're finding
that much.
Yeah. So this is what we're finding is that, people would actually take, we have two sets, take a par and they would take it home. And so they're working all day and, housekeeping's hard. It's so hard. And all the houses are so different. And if you have one or two homes, on this channel, awesome. You know how long it takes them to learn like that home. So now think if they have other clients too, right? And it's sort of hard to repeat the process. So what we found so important, right? You got to pay them well. It's the most important piece. Like if you have a good, clean home, everything else you can kind of manage more with the guests, right? But if it's just immediately not a good first impression with the cleanliness, it just feels like everything else is just, half-assed too. So for that, what we did is we told them, hey, listen, if we can actually save you time on linens and you have exactly the what you need clean and you just drop off the dirty here and, we did the cleaning. So for them, like they would, work with a laundry facility and they'd have probably a drop off in the back of the facility or the front. And they say, hey, I'm, blank and I'm just dropping them off. You're going to find that they can actually clean more homes in the day. So they can find kind of their margin in that regard, have not take all their stuff back home. You start losing and mix matching all your linens. All of a sudden, like you got someone else's linens and you're like, wait, I don't want microfiber mixed with cotton. That feels weird when you're sleeping. Right. So it's really important that you have like tote bags that you, label it in and out for this like cleaning company or, commercial laundry. And just, let them know, like, hey, I might be doing a lot of business. I'm probably doing turnover once or twice a week. Like, what's your best price you can give me? And that housekeeper you work with, they will find that they have more time with their family at home. Cause what they're doing is they're coming home and they're washing all night. So they're doing like, it's like basically just 24/7 working sort of. And, when these people have time with their families, not that builds just like this loyalty to you, right? Because they love their job. So if you can be one of those hosts that does that with just your first few properties, you'll actually probably also get a housekeeper to even promote you for another property down the road and start wanting to manage for them. So
so are you are washing the duvets every single, like it's going to the commercial facility. And how is that wear and tear on the duvets though? And just on your sheets, the commercial, is the commercial less wear and tear?
Good question. Obviously, higher bedroom count, you're going to have less turnover. Lower bedroom count, you're going to have more turnover. So we always say about every 2 years, you replenish your lens. Now, of course, again, you could go further than that, of course, but their linens do lose like a softness to them, like over time. Fibers start to spread and not be as close and stuff like that. So it comes down to like, it's the same question. It's like, do you buy like a standard textile package or do you go and get like a frite? Obviously, frite is ridiculous. Like it's going to be insanely expensive. Made waterfront property, you're charging a lot a night and you want that advertising for that linen. Great. But, it all comes down to a higher thread count. It'll last longer through more cycles usually is the case. And what I found is that, when you're washing these linens and stuff like that, don't overly treat them, if that makes sense. So just kind of do like do a repetitive process, but with the commercial groups, they'll throw them in and those washers and dryers have a little bit more room to move. So everything actually gets cleaned more appropriately. And it's not like it's not like things rubbing up against each other as much. For us, we found that just, you know, if you're paying a little more of it, the lens actually will last longer, quite frankly, than if you did it in your residential washer.
I think my last bed question, do you have a favorite mattress?
Oh, man. I've tried so many. It's crazy. Here's what I found. So I did a study on this, like 80-something% of people are used to innerspring and like 20% are used to like memory foam. So hybrid is hard. I make all of our owners get hybrid because it just makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Why not? We get 50% off Helix. So of course we just like push that. Obviously Dream Cloud is another one. A few others, but I would also say though, if you look locally in your area, there might be a bed manufacturer and you can get like amazing, like some of these people actually willing to like, you know, sell locally and you're supporting local business, which I think is really important too. So
I would
look at that. Yeah.
Okay. So you are starting Stage of A in 2015 and then your commercial laundry service, it's called
Fluffy.
And Fluffy offers not only laundry services, but housekeeping services as well, correct?
Correct.
So if anyone out there is listening and they're dreaming about their short-term rental empire, at what point did you start Fluffy after Stage of A?
I don't think it really makes sense to do it until you get to about 150 properties because of scale. You're going to be investing at about 150 properties. You're going to be buying two washers and three dryers, probably. Each of those are going to range around $20,000 to $30,000. And then usually a Wasco mat is a pretty normal brand people use, or Electrolux. That's kind of when you ask yourself that question. Honestly, any share is way too soon. I would say probably the sweet spot's 200. But a lot of people out there I know, because it takes time to drive from one property to another to properly inspect, are leveraging their housekeeping, right?
Yeah.
So if you're one of those people really leveraging housekeeping, you need to empower them and make one of your focuses needs to be, how can I make their day easier as much as possible? Like, think about them, like make it so that they're basically like your team, your employees in the sense, and that you need a good leader is going to like ensure that they're best prepared to be the most successful. So I would definitely like consider, like what I said before with the commercial laundry, like, you know, do that, but bringing it in-house, 150 to 200 is when you do that. And then your margin, instead of putting it in your pocket, just hear me on this, instead of putting that margin in your pocket, put it back in your housekeepers, like a good bit of it, really reinvest in them and reinvest in your guest experience. And you will find more reviews and less callbacks, and everything will get a little easier for you, that you're kind of buying that back, you know? So I know a lot of times people, when they get like, you know, the option for margin, they like to pocket it. Our rule has always been reinvest it back in, you know, so that we can be better, right? So that's what I would do at that moment, if you get to that opportunity.
Where do you find, where did you and where do you now find your housekeepers?
So all of our housekeepers are in like the surrounding Charleston area. Most of them drive 30 to 40 minutes.
Wow.
Like Somerville area. Goose Creek area. But we have a laundry facility on the Upper Neck in North Charleston. So from there, you can go to every spot we manage. You know, we manage everywhere from downtown Charleston to Pleasant to Isle of Palms, Folly Beach, Kiowa, Seabrook, North Charleston. So we have a lot of areas. And that one spot, believe it or not, has just amazing highway systems to all those places directly. So.
But when you're finding a cleaner, tailor, and they've answered an ad or something where you're now connected, what is your secret sauce to finding someone who is aligned with your values at your company and will be able to find longevity, a longer relationship? Are there questions that you ask? Is it okay, the initial interview and then like a trial training session of 30? Like, what's your secret sauce to finding good partnership with housekeepers?
Good question, man. So Lazaro, my partner, he definitely does more of the interviewing now, but I remember when I was doing it with him in the beginning, what we always said was, you know, we have our own like PMS. So we created like a task management system in there ourselves. And in that, what we did was we ensured that in the automation, they see like, you know, pictures of the property, but they can also see like, here's the special instructions for like the homeowner that they request and all that stuff. And so what we would do is we'd say, hey, you know, how many properties do you think you can do in a day? And because if they say like, oh, 8 or 10, I'm like, yeah, right. That's not realistic. Right. So kind of asking these, like, you know, what is the expectation? And then we always say, hey, do you know we're handling the linens for you? And they're like, oh, I could do 15 now. And we're like, no way. you know, the reality is putting them out there. You know, we ask, of course, their experience. Have they done quick turnover? Are they able to turn a property from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.? How many in that period on a day? Are they, like, who's on their team? A lot of times housekeeping, like, there's always like one or two, maybe three people. We actually do teams of three everywhere. So kind of creates camaraderie, but then people are really good at like the same thing. Like one person's really good at, like, you know, handling, Terry and making the beds and like the final touches with the amenities. And one person's doing all like the kitchens and bathrooms. The other person's doing like all the softer stuff, you know, the living room, the dens, and then outdoor spaces too. So for us, it's for the, you know, what are you good at? Day after 30 days, I'd say we go through the guest reviews of what the housekeeping is. We're able to pull that up in our PMS so we can see, you know, what everybody's saying. If housekeeping's 5 stars all across, and our inspectors say, hey, yeah, everything looks great, then we're fine, right? We're doing great. But from there, we do have housekeeping checklists. We have pre-arrival inspection and turnover checklists. So that housekeeping checklist goes between those two, right? We can't do the full thing in a turnover, but we want to make sure we cover the essential stuff that the guests touch, see, and or, you know, feel. So, you know, that's how we do it. Checklists, you know, mainly an interview, but really we do it, period.
And that's the game changer. What do you see? You're in a lot of houses. You're with talking to a lot of guests. What is a basic mistake that you still see hosts just making that we can remedy ASAP? That's like just that we need to fix now. And that's easy to fix.
So something that I think that, like speaking for the guests, what homeowners could do to be better about.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I think homeowners need to stay in their properties more. I think they need to focus on being a home, not a house. I think when a kitchen makes sense and everything feels, again, home to house, I always tell owners, I say, you know, we like to manage homes and houses. What does that mean? And I'm like, well, are you going to like stay in that and share it with your family? And they're like, yeah, probably once or twice a year. I'm like, perfect. So let's set it up that way, right? Like, we're about to host your whole family. It might be grandma's last, you know, Christmas. Like, how are you going to make it look? Let's do that, right? I think it's so important for, and I want to say something too. I know homeowners can seem like a pain, but the ones that actually are getting you feedback and are like criticizing little things, when they come back, you want those people. They actually are. That's what a partner does. A partner gives you good, honest feedback, right? So I wanted to kind of say that. I would say for guests, like, going back to, you know, Sarah's thing too, it's like, a clean bed. If you start with a good clean bed and you know that you can keep that going, everything else is a little bit easy to repair in the moment with a guest. It really is. It's crazy. So I would just say, you know, make sure that the house feels like a home. Would be my answer. And because I could talk for an hour about this. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's a simple, okay, but let's talk a little bit more about it. But you say make a house a home, but what is something, again, like today you feel like hosts are missing out on that home aspect? Like, what's something that you see repeated again and again as a misstep?
Yeah. So when you're onboarding a property, you want to be really detailed, right? Like, you need to make sure you know what the serial number of every appliance. You need to know where everything's located, the breaker box. Like, I mean, you have the photos of every single thing about that property, right? Because all the properties are unique, right? That's what makes this industry so difficult, is everything's decentralized. Everything's not the same like managing hotel rooms. I mean, managing hotel rooms is so easy compared to this. So, you know, you're needing to make sure that everything works. Now, can you stay in the property? You can ask the owner. Most managers are afraid to ask that question. I think it's actually a good thing for an owner to allow the manager to experience the property if they have time, or someone on their team. But you need to check like everything. You know, you don't want that those first 5 reviews determine on your placement on Airbnb, right? So, you know, quick conversion to great guest reviews, and how often those reviews are being written is what gets you, I think, that guest favorite tag, right? So we want to make sure that you're not missing any of that. I would also say that in the onboarding, you know, these guests, like, when you're putting together the property, don't just make it like add stuff in there like a guest itinerary, you know, really basic instructions on how to access things around, you know, the area. But what you really want to focus on doing is making people feel like from the day they book to when they're leaving that they're not booking a house, they're booking a home that comes with a local's experience, right? So you need to make sure that when they're in your home or in the owner's home, that you're hosting them with this like just really awesome like idea of really honestly keeping them out of the house almost, like just have the home be their base. And I think, you know, when you're managing these properties, you're doing preventative maintenance. You have to be proactive about that. So if you have a PMS, like going through and doing auto tasks, repeat tasks to make sure like air filter is getting replaced every once in a while. You're checking Wi-Fi speeds during inspection. All those details, I've got checklists on checklists on checklists, and I've had to change them over time for different things. But it's just really important for you to be thorough. Do not rush a property to go live. That is the biggest mistake I think we have made multiple times, is the owner's like, I want to be live yesterday. Like, okay, but like, the second we go live is when it's showtime. We got to really make sure we're getting, you know, some viewership and bookings here. Do not launch a property without the right photos. Like, just wait for the good photos and then launch the property. And I would say in the, like, you know, check-in instructions, checkout instructions, you're, oh, we'll get to that later. I guarantee you that you'll forget, and then about 5 to 10 guest stays will happen with really key things that now you're manually having to answer for them. So just be really thoughtful, have a really, really good onboarding checklist, and, you know, ask those first 5 guests, call them, don't just message them, call them and say, hey, really love to hear some honest feedback from you. Cause people, are not getting that direct human conversation anymore. Everything always seems like it's in text and automation. So the more you do that, they're more surprised and they'll be real with you. And then you can prevent like a really angry, upset guest who's just having a bad day and needs somebody to punch, right? Like, you can get ahead of that by being proactive.
Well, you worked in restaurants before, Taylor. It's a lot of brick and mortar, and in restaurants, we have friends and family. And I also dislike when short-term rental hosts use their paying guests as an opportunity to do a friends and family event by letting them figure out the kinks to a new property. And I just don't think that's fair. Even if you're offering discounted pricing, they don't see it that way. You know, like they're still paying for a stay and experience. And so that's why I agree with you. You as the owner should stay in your property before it goes live, or if you're a co-host, property manager, to figure out those kinks and to make it show ready from day one, because like you said, game on. I want to talk to you though, Taylor, selfishly, about your time management skills. Because what I see, everyone, and we went over it in the intro, but Taylor's got, you know, you've got, we're all your you've got a short-term rental property management company. You have a long-term and executive property management company. You have a PMS system that you built. You have Fluffy. And then now you have houseboats. Mm-hmm. You started 10 years ago. Why? Like, and that, if you could share with me, is it partners? Is it bringing, or do you have a smaller piece of the pie in order to do all these things? What is it? How are you doing it?
Great question. Yeah. All of them I have partners on except the executive rental business. This is hospitality. It's 24/7. And so good partners is everything. You know, when you're low, they can hopefully bring up and vice versa. So I highly recommend people considering a good partnership. Time management is hard. I'm one of those people who wakes up every day and my mind moves a million miles an hour and I can't seem to slow it down. So, but I'm motivated, maybe with a people pleasing element, but I'm motivated because I don't want to let people down. Like the amount of anxiety I'll put on myself of like me just thinking like, is this the last vacation I'll have with grandma? You know, and I could share hundreds of stories of crazy things that have happened that we've had happen, but also really, really like beautiful things that, you know, my team needs to hear it so that they have, they serve a purpose. Right. I'm very, very blessed. So whenever we've brought on a lot of our team members, they all really care about their reputation, all really care about doing a great job and hosting these guests and giving and building core memories. They don't wake up to be like, oh, I just, you know, what am I gonna make today and like, what time is it? Our team comes in and leaves, and we are a family. Like, we really are. We've always empowered our team to not feel silent. Like, I want to hear everybody's opinion. I want to have one-on-ones with every team member at the end of the year and be like, hey, we know, what do you want to switch positions? What do you like? What do you don't like? I just really, really care about everybody waking up and wanting to, yeah, just serve with purpose. It's just like, when you have that, it kind of, you can take on more and then because you know, everybody's going to cover that corner, you know? It gets exhausting. Something I want to say here too, is when you, even with just hosting a couple of properties, if you're one of those people that has really high emotional intelligence, empathy, you're going to be thinking constantly about these things. And that's normal. And I want you to know, it doesn't, you don't feel alone when you feel like you're kind of in your own craziness of like overthinking things. No one's going to understand it as much as you, because it's something that you put together, or something you promised a homeowner how it's going to be, something you're putting out in the world. You're telling guests how they're going to experience it. Yeah. If you are like concerned, that's awesome. That is how you should be. A good hospitality or a good host is, it is like thinking constantly about their customers, you know, and wants to be there for them. So I'm just so blessed to have people that care about the product, the experience. I have this thing called peer system. So obviously your product, your experience, then your employees, and then your reputation, and that you build them in that order. And then from when you get to the bottom, you go back up, and then you go back down. And you know, something we've really, that's been a game changer for us. We have another acronym called X. So we say, you know, apologize, you know, say you're sorry and mean it, because that usually brings people, disarms them. And then you clarify, you know, showing that you understand, you hear them, like that there's an issue. Because to be honest, most of the time, it's not really that big of a problem, but to them it is, right? So you want to validate that and show love to them as a person, right? And try to do that in person too. Don't do it behind text messages. And if you are, use those emojis, because people will take things differently.
The emoji.
And then taking action, you know, it's like that's the most important thing, right? So many people talk and then they don't follow up, right? So having a good system, having a good team that holds each other accountable. I always use this analogy, like we are on a boat together, you know, and we're all rowing this. I'm a coxswain, which is the person who's the front of the boat telling people to row, but I used to be a rower on it. And it used to be a lot smaller of a boat. So I need to remember, you know, I'm responsible for these people, but they're also responsible for each other. And it's not about me and it's not about them. It's about the boat. And if we all focus on that, then we as together will be the best boat in the water, right? And we can make magical things happen. So that's how I really lead with my teams. And I'm just so blessed to have people that really fundamentally believe in.
But how does your team, I'm going to play like devil's advocate of being a team member, how, being on one of these teams, do I know you're all in when you have like five businesses? Like, why, how do I know that you care about this boat as much as you care about the other boat in the fleet? You know, when you're kind of in different, wearing different hats for different organizations.
Yeah. So we actually have soirees, we call them, like twice a year. We have a spring and like a fall, and then we have a holiday party, and then we do monthly gatherings, and we bring everybody together. We bring the vendors. Like, we have one guy who we pay, or it's actually him and his wife, we pay them every 2 weeks to walk up and down our streets in downtown Charleston, where most of our rentals are, and pick up all the trash in the neighborhood, right? And they're our street cleaning trash valet. And those guys come, you know, and like our landscapers and all that. All these different businesses, they're all doing their stuff, but it makes you realize how important like everybody is in the system, right? And I think like, they all feel they're a part of a community. Because in Charleston, again, it's not a big city. It's not the smallest, but it's somewhere kind of in the middle. And you run to people all the time, right? It's like, you could be here for a year. You're like, whoa, like someone I just met all the time. And so there's some sense of like, you know, people, when they see like that, I'm working on these multiple businesses, I've tied them all together. They are kind of all verticals for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. The houseboats are managed by State Duvet. You know, if the long-term stay needs to happen, it goes to Duvet Homes. Short-term stay, it needs to happen, it goes to State Duvet. Feather PM is our PMS. We built that, and it helps like really manage everything for our housekeeping teams and our vendors and our internal company. So they are all verticals that complement one another. But I think also the team, like if you're just kind of stagnant in the same thing all the time, like the team wants to see like a good team wants a little bit of challenge, you know, every day to be a little different, growth opportunities. And if they see like, you know, there's like, you know, different directions it's going, they're like, oh, you know, there'll be future opportunities for me to kind of like, you know, venture out too in the same company, sort of.
I love that. What is next for you then? Is it more of the same, or are there new ventures on the horizon? What's going on with your empire?
Yeah. You know, one of my friends actually, you know, found y'all, and it was like, you know, these people really like, I think care like about the industry. Like they actually care. Like they care about, and I'm like, you know, we need more of that, because I think that right now, and let me back up. I really care holistically about this industry, because I think it's a bunch of people in hospitality that actually want to do a good job. When I go to the conferences, I feel like making friends left and right, you know, and genuinely, you know, and I just want to help this industry create quality control standards. I believe that, you know, the fact there really is no Four Seasons, Ritz-Carlton of vacation rentals is because, again, you know, properties are not created equal, but at the same time, just these hosts and people aren't empowered to, like, people are thinking this is like property management, passive income, but that's for the homeowner. You know, if you're managing someone's house, it really, you need to think of it like you're running a hospitality company, really. So I really want to come in and really help just reframe that. And I really want to stop losing guests to hotels, honestly. That's another thing. I think it's important. I also fought again for that 2018 ordinance in Charleston. Charleston would not have short-term rentals at all had I not done that, because I was solo, alone in there. And it was like by far the most scariest and freakiest part of my entire life. I had the worst sleep ever, because there are other people who are making decisions for me when I, you know, loving thy neighbor, making sure trash, parking, and noise are never any issues. And so I've been building out, like, with a lot of anxiety, I feel like all these like proactive measures. And now I just feel like a lot of people out there could really use that. You know, if they come across y'all and they see how many episodes you have, they could really go through like a catalog of so many cool things to like learn. And I think that's so, and you guys do a great job of putting it in like a almost like from a UI perspective, it's easy to go through and catalog. So, you know, we need more of that. And first off, thank you all for being a platform for hosts like this, because this is how we will all, you know, rise together. And you know, vacation rentals and bread and breakfast, by the way, most of that money stays in our cities and communities. Mm-hmm. Hotels, you go to stay at a Marriott, whatever the net profit is of that, it's going out of the city instantly. So if you are dealing with a local municipality, and again, I'm, you know, happy to talk to you. I would love to be your therapist, because I have actually, I've gone through a lot of it. And I've even helped write ordinances for other local municipalities. And through it, I found that it all comes from just a couple bad eggs, a couple bad hosts. And what you need to do is turn it around and let them know that actually what we're doing is best for local businesses. Let me show you how our guest check averages are higher and how we're actually like helping these local businesses more than, you know, these commercial hotels. So just know that, you know, I want to be a resource. I just want to be a resource for everybody. Like all this 10 years of just absolute insanity, I'm trying right now kind of freshly to help get it out there. And you know, y'all are kind of a first step for me on that. But I really like, not to bring up like our software, but we did build a software called Feather. And when I was building it, I was like, here's my goal. Good guest experience and homeowner retention. Those are very key KPIs, right? So 4.8 guest experience, 5.5 year homeowner retention. That's great to have, right? But I wanted to make sure that, you know, we for us had a proper system to actually meet these important goals. And so for you, whether you're using any system, you know, it's important for you to challenge yourself. Is it the system I'm using, or is it more like how I'm going about using the system, right? Mm-hmm. Most people don't even use like 80% of any system they sign up for, right? Like they don't even know what to do it, right? So for us, like with Feather, like we're a privately owned thing, and we're like, guys, let's like use this to like bring on other cool, you know, hosts like us that really want to make an impact, and then we can create this cool like community through a tool. So we are launching that, featherpms.com, but it's like, I'm I just want to be very clear. My main goals are just to help hosts and property managers be more successful so that this industry, everyone looks back and goes, that's the best form of accommodations we can have in our community. You know,
you're involved in an educational sector in your community too. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So just a couple of weeks ago, so I'm a College of Charleston alum. Hospitality colleges, there's a few that are known to be, you know, the best at Cornell. Auburn's got a new one for lodging and events, including Beth. But, you know, College of Charleston has an amazing hospitality, you know, background landscape. I mean, it's perfect. So, you know, I'm really honored, but we basically put together this group of a council of people who are very experienced in hospitality to get together and help these kids learn like what really matters. And what we're finding is that one of the most interesting pieces is most of these kids are like worried about artificial intelligence and how it's going to replace their jobs. Like, should I even go to college? You know, that's a big question out there. Hospitality might be the one like most safest industry because people wholeheartedly will always want to be served by others, right? It is what, like, there's something extra special about that, right? So as AI continues to, expand, people are going to be more starved for human interaction, right? So remember that, like, automate when you can, like, it makes sense, but really, really challenge yourself and your team to be really interactive personally with people. So what we want to do with this this college is service excellence, you know, through like, you know, human interaction. So what that means is, you know, whether it's a restaurant or a vacation rental or a hotel or you know, an event space, you know, let's be honest, if you have good core fundamentals for like being a good person to other people, like good customer service, right? Like, you're going to be a great business. You'll work everything else out, right? People will give you that, they'll give you that leniency a little because they know that you mean well, right? And so I think just a lot of these kids I'm noticing are just like really, really anxious about what they're going to do. And I just want them to know that like, this is an industry that it might not pay the most, but it is so much, I bet you on your deathbed, it feels so much more rewarding to spend a life serving others than just taking, right? So just like, it's really reframing like why, right? And a lot of these, I think a lot of people, you'll get these really, GPA and you're like, in hospitality, like GPA is cool. They're like, I don't really need GPA. I need like EQ. Can we do like emotional intelligence exams? I don't know. Like, can we make sure these kids are confident to do an interview with somebody, right? So, but yeah, it's really awesome. We're trying to like, you know, change the educational framework. And I think a lot of colleges, a lot of places are going to have to do that. So I'm really excited. The College of Charleston here is trying to be top five best hospitality universities over the next 5 years. That's our goal. So we'll see.
I love that. So Taylor, if anyone wants to reach out to you for just more learning or find out more about the businesses, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah. Reach out to me. Probably right now, because we're using Feather, is also like I'm on the consulting side for Feather. So once you've onboarded, like if you decide to, and even if you don't, but I'll talk to you regardless because I really want to help you. Taylor@featherpms.com would be the best email to reach me because that's where I'm really building that foundation and doing like you can book me for some classes and stuff like that or consulting. I am building it out and I've been working on it. And just again, my goal, I'd love to hear from some of y'all because you can help me get better at it. And I want to just really learn what your goals are. Like, is your goal to get more homeowners? Is your goal to improve your guest experience? Is your goal to make everybody in your communities love you? I want to know what your true big goals are. And I can tell you, I can give multiple ways and a good framework of how we can get you there. No matter what you're using, you're doing, it's possible. I think 95%, I would probably say even more of all things can be like repeated in this industry and done the same way, the right way in all markets. Like I know in Cape Cod, you know, you go arrive to a property and you have to make your sheets. Well, I don't know why anyone started doing that as like a standard there, but that's standard to Cape Cod. But you know, that's that 5% weird thing that like, you know, each market's different. But the other 95%, I'm pretty sure I can help coach with, so.
www.taylorhoffman.com.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Taylor. With that, I am Sarah Karakane.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.